I don't know about you.
Let's just zap it right through, Mr. Chairman.
Call the Resources Committee meeting to order. Let's record show that Senators Sturgeonowski, Zarup, Duncan, and Fisher are in attendance. And I believe Senator Fanning's on his way. Senator Coghill is absent today, excused absence. We have two bills today, Senate Bill 373 and Senate Bill 410, and we will take Senate Bill 373 up first because we do have somebody from the teleconference network from Fairbank. So 373 will go to first, and 373 is before us. It's an act extending the termination date of the Citizens Advisory Commission on federal areas in Alaska and providing for an effective date. Prime sponsor is Senator Farenkamp, and Senator Farenkamp is with us, so Senator Farenkamp, would you please join us?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I've heard this bill called one of the shortest bills in the legislature. I think you can look at it very easily and tell exactly what it does, which is extend the commission. This commission has been copied now in two or three states. Others are looking at it. We have inquiries every year as to ways with which to work with federal agencies. I had thought that perhaps when this legislation went in, we'd be able to settle some of these issues within the seven-year period, but not only has the NELCO things not been settled, but many of the plans that are still going through are under advisement. I do think the committee should know that we have discussed with the governor in trying to help with the Lands Council, which is not working appropriately. And until such time as the Lands Council can do its job, this is desperately needed. However, even with the Lands Council, we still do not have the individual representation that is and solve the individual problems that come before the Citizens Advisory Commission. I'll be happy to answer any questions you have. I know Stan can go into a lot of things that the commission has and is doing. It is managed to still be effective even though it's gone through the budget crunches every year. And the administrative director of this commission has really been doing a fantastic job with very little help. I would urge its approval.
Thank you, Senator Farenkamp. Are there any questions? Senator Farenkamp, I just have one.
And
you have a history of the commission. It says because the agency is a temporary agency, why are you asking for a 10-year extension?
I'm asking for a 10-year extension because we found that we thought within the time frames of the ANILCA that the purposes of this commission would be finished, or at least we'd find out if it worked within that seven-year period. It was temporary because it's put in the law, the statute that way, with a sunset date. It's, you know, as far as I'm concerned, we can put it in for all the times to come because I think we're going to still continue to need it. But at this rate, at least it can defend itself in 10 years and show its need, or else we can do away with it.
Thank you. You can stay there, buddy, if you want.
All right.
We're going to go to Fairbanks. On the other end, we have Stan Lepart, Executive Director of the Citizens Advisory Commission on Federal Areas. Are you there, Stan?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I am.
Okay, go ahead if you have any testimony.
Yes, sir, I do have a little bit this afternoon. Just for the record, my name is Stan Lepart. I'm the Executive Director of the Citizens Advisory Commission on Federal Areas, and I'd like to speak today in support of SB 373, which would reauthorize the commission. First, I'd like to say thanks for letting me participate via teleconference. I couldn't make it to June on today, so this is very convenient. Secondly, I think to go into the nuts and bolts of the commission, I'd like to emphasize the importance of our commission's effort in monitoring the implementation of the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act, or ANILCA as it is commonly called. In the past 7 years, our commission has reviewed numerous plans, including those for 13 national park units, 16 national wildlife refuges, 6 wild and scenic rivers, 12 rivers under study for possible designation as wild and scenic, a national recreation area, a national conservation area, and a national forest here in the state of Alaska. With the exception of the river plans, each of the other federal agency plans will trigger additional planning efforts. These are called step-down plans. They are currently being prepared, and they will guide the day-to-day management of specific resources on each of these federal conservation system units. And because of their focus on these specific resources and how those resources will be managed, these plans have the potential to directly affect more people than actually the general or comprehensive management plans which have already been prepared. Let me give you one example that we've recently worked on and we're still working on. This is a fur bear management plan. You could also call it a trapping plan for the Kenai National Wildlife Refuge. This plan was released in draft form for public review, and I might add, with very little public knowledge, for a 60-day comment period back in August. We became aware of the plan with only about 2 weeks left in the comment period, and the Alaska Department of Fish and Game had also not been made aware that the plan was out. And I find this rather ironic because under a memorandum of agreement between the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, which manages the refuge, and the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, the Department of Fish and Game is responsible for managing the fur bear resources on that refuge. In the event, we raised a protest about the lack of public participation, about the lack of consultation with the trapping community. There are 120 permit holders that trap on that refuge. None of them had been written to or advised that the plan was out for public review. As a result, we were successful in getting the Fish and Wildlife Service to withdraw the plan and to agree to some more consultation with public user groups. They formed a group that they call a charrette, or for use of a better term, a work group, to iron out some of the conflicts associated with trapping on that refuge. This group met for 2 days back in December, hammered out consensus positions on the whole range of alternatives that had been developed in the original plan. And I might add that Fish and Wildlife Service was an active and voting member in that group. And we thought this was a real good effort. Unfortunately, what has come out now in the form of a revised plan is not the consensus opinions that the work group had come up with. So I think this really emphasizes the need that although we have at one point asked the agency to go back and redo a plan, they went through the motions, but what they have ultimately come up with is a plan that still does not represent the consensus opinions by the public user groups. So I think that really emphasizes the need to continue to monitor all these mass of plans and regulations that are being developed as a result of the Alaska Lands Act. Real briefly, and I'll wrap this up now, we do work very closely with the state agencies. I think that's emphasized by the work we did with Fish and Game on the fur bear management plan. One of the things that's recently been brought to our attention that an increasing number of complaints from public citizens have been received by a lot of the field personnel, particularly for Fish and Game, throughout the state. Now, as with any state agency, you have a fair amount of turnover with people, so some of those newer people with Fish and Game were not aware of the commission and the activities that we were engaged in. So, in cooperation with the State Division of Governmental Coordination, we prepared a fact sheet outlining the assistance that we could provide to the public and the agencies as well, and forwarded that to all state agency people who participate in the planning process through the Division of Governmental Coordination. And I'm in the hopes that this effort will get more people in touch with this commission if they have a problem that they need resolved. So in closing, I think that it's safe to say that with the levels of planning that are likely to continue for the years to come, it's essential that the public be kept informed of all the federal agency planning actions and then in turn be provided with the maximum opportunity to participate in those planning efforts. And this commission is certainly committed to ensuring that those opportunities and the rights of Alaska citizens to continue to utilize the federal lands are not abridged. That's all I have today, Mr. Chairman. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions by committee members? There are none, so thank you for your... Oh, Senator Fahrenkamp?
Mr. Chairman, I think all of you received the memorandum that I sent concerning this bill. I would like to bring your attention that we are in court at the present time with the Park Service concerning cabin policy. We have been on three different occasions to the administration since we do have a representative of the Attorney General's office assigned to the commission. And we have been on three other occasions asking that we enter into suits. And we're very pleased that it, for one of these requests at least, we are now in the courts, and we hope that we'll have a little better results when we go with our suits and the reason for it drawn up as to why the state needs to protect its rights.
Thank you. Senator Sturgeon-Liskey.
Are there others to testify?
There's not on the teleconference. I'm just going to ask now if there's anybody here because there's nobody that signed up. Is there anybody in the audience that cares to testify on this bill? If not, the public hearing is closed. What is the wish of the committee?
Mr. Chairman, just if you're ready, I'd like to make a motion to move the bill. But I think it's important that we have this group out there. I think they've established a good record. They've been responsible and just taking a look at the members of the advisory committee. There's a good input for the legislators, and you have very different points of view established, but it does give a forum. And I've been a little bit disappointed that the Federal State Land Use Planning Commission has not been as active. It has not drawn the participation by the state as effectively as it might. And I think it's just really important that we have this agency. They have really no power other than persuasion to see that things move forward and that attention is paid to it. And there can be a lot of issues. So I'm very supportive. If you'd accept a motion, I would move that we move this legislation with individual recommendations.
Any objections? Okay. SB 373 is now out of committee with individual recommendation.
This is Bridge Bill?
No, sir. License. Okay, next. Okay, we have Senate Bill 410, and the chair will accept the motion for adoption as committee substitute, so we can address that. Senator Zara.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for Senate Bill 410 be adopted and moved in the original draft.
Any objections? Okay, no objections. So before us, we have committee substitute for Senate Bill 410. Is there anybody from Senator Eliason's office that wants to testify? Okay.
Sure.
Senator Zara.
Did you want a brief explanation here?
We will.
On behalf of Senator Eliason.
Senator Zara.
I have some paper remarks here. So.
By the way, we're off the teleconference now.
We're going to run through the whole thing. So.
Sure.
The prime sponsor of the bill asked me to speak on this bill in his absence, and I was pleased to honor his request because Senate Bill 410 has a direct impact on my district as well. This legislation would allow the Department of Fish and Game to fulfill the legislative intent regarding state hatcheries. In last year's operating bill, the legislature instructed the Fred Division to enter into agreements with the Cook Inlet Regional Aquaculture Association, the Prince William Sound Aquaculture Corporation, and the Kodiak Regional Aquaculture Association for the operation of state hatcheries. The feeling of the legislature was that this arrangement would save the state funds and ensure the continued operation of certain state hatcheries in the public interest. The regional aquaculture associations are nonprofit corporations formed by commercial fishermen and other user groups. The purpose is to conduct fisheries rehabilitation and enhancement work that benefits all user groups. The Fred Division was in the process of working on contracts with regional associations for the operation of state hatcheries when the state ombudsman determined that these contracts would be in violation of the state procurement code. As a result, we find Senate Bill 410 before us as the quickest and easiest way to get this process back on track. And this legislation would specifically allow the state to enter into contracts with regional associations for the operation or cooperative operation of state hatcheries, and the hatcheries would remain in the hands of the state. And the suggestion would be that this piece of legislation be acted on as quickly as possible. The Fred Division is trying to have these contracts in place by this season. The regional associations are anxious, of course, to get started, and if we delay this, this legislation too much, then we may find ourselves running into the next fiscal year and it could be an additional burden. So I would note that Mr. Brian Ali, is he here? Is here from the Fred Division and can address any of the technical matters of the legislation. I might point out that there is a packet of information that gives you a sectional analysis from the Legislative Affairs Agency, as requested by Senator Eliason, and also a bill analysis for the legislation. In the analysis, you'll note that there is a section from the Department of Fish and Game, Fred Division, which supports the legislation, and the purpose or the reason for the committee substitute would be to address the concerns. They did request that they allow the commissioner to waive the submission of an application for a permit to operate the hatchery due to the fact that the application process is designed for new hatcheries only. So, and it is, in this case here, it would be unnecessarily a time-consuming process under this, in this situation. And just to point out where the changes would be in your committee substitute, on page one, line 14, we changed the term to transfer the operation of a hatchery to provide for the operation, just changes transfer to provide. And then on page two, lines 7 through 9, section E, is a new section that's added that was not included in the original bill. And then down under section 3, lines 19 through 22, would be a new section that was added, which would address the amendment suggested
I'm
by
sorry,
the,
okay.
Section 3,
mm-hmm.
B, all of section B,
mm-hmm.
Would be the section, if I'm not mistaken, would be a, would allow the commissioner to waive the submission of an application.
Okay.
Permit. Permit, right. Okay, I think that was basically the only real changes, substantive changes in the committee substitute.
Thank you, Senator Zorf. Any questions?
Mr. Chairman,
We're off the teleconference.
I'm just really happy to see this legislation. I think it's a lot better than to do it by intent. So. Good.
Okay, we have two folks that want to testify. We have Brian Ali. Why don't you join us at the table, please?
Are they opposed?
I think it says they're in favor.
Let's start to get steamed up here. Yeah, but it's okay. We'll steam. We can.
I want to hear.
Awesome. Oh, sure. Well, I do too.
Mr. Chairman.
All day.
My name is Brian Ali. I'm the director of the Fred Division, and I'd be very happy to answer any questions that you might have regarding the approach and the rationale for needing the legislation. We've tried to provide a packet of information on the hatchery program in Alaska for your perusal and such that deals with the bill and the bill analysis and also deals with the program and some of the programmatic aspects of the Fred Division program, as well as the private nonprofit program. The thing I guess we're especially proud of is the program, which began in the early 70s in response to very few fish, some 23 million harvested statewide, has grown to its present state where it's the largest program in North America. We took 1.3 billion eggs last year. We're about the size of the Russian program and about half the size of the Japanese program. The total economic benefit of the program to the economy of Alaska is estimated to be $75 million on an annual basis. And this is the work of the ICER group from the University of Alaska in Anchorage. So we feel there are significant benefits there. And this approach by which we would contract the operation of four state hatcheries to the regional associations would help us reprogram critical dollars back into the program to affect, direct themselves against program deficiencies and extend the benefits of this program. So we have been working for over 8 months with the regional associations and general public and fishermen in response to the legislative intent that we had in the FY88 budget to work out cooperative agreements for the operation of state hatcheries and to try and develop new and innovative ways to fund the public enhancement program. So we feel that the kind of work that we've been involved in with working up contracts with regional associations to run these four hatcheries is consistent with our legislative intent, and this bill would certainly allow for that to happen in light of the circumstances with respect to contracts that we're faced with. So with that as an introduction, I'd be happy to answer questions.
Thank you, Senator Duncan.
Yeah, thank you. On page one, I think there is one other addition Senator Jaroff didn't talk about. I just wonder how that would work. It's on line 15. To transfer for the operation of the hatchery by another person or by another person in cooperation with the state. I think the hatcheries you're talking about would be turned completely over to an aquaculture association, perhaps, for operation. But is there a case where there would be state and aquaculture association involvement?
Yeah.
The state would continue to be involved in the management somehow?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, excuse me, yes. There would be, and that's the case of the Katoy hatchery. Or we're working cooperatively with the Regional Aquaculture Association there, which is just beginning to start, and our personnel would be maintained at the hatchery, and the regional association would recover 50% of the cost of the operation in the cost recovery harvest as these adult fish come back to the hatchery. So that is the cooperative sort of nature of the program, much like the cooperative programs that we started in this fiscal year with Prince William Sound Aquaculture Corporation and Kodiak Regional Aquaculture Association and the Petersburg Vessel Owners and the Southeast Saners Association.
But there may be cases where the state would not be involved at all.
Yes, that precisely, and that is the three other hatchery situations where the state is not involved at all. That was a unique case, in other words.
Okay. How does this fit in with Trail Lake? How do you see Trail Lake fitting in?
Mr. Chairman, the Trail Lakes facility is one of the four, and we've been discussing this with the Cook Inland Aquaculture Association. That's the hatchery that they would choose to take over. They were less interested in the Tutka hatchery, which we were originally discussing, as you're probably aware. So we have the Tutka hatchery funded in our program presently, and the Trail Lakes hatchery would then be operated by the Cook Inland Aquaculture Association.
Any questions?
Oh, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Sturgiewicz.
Again, I'm really delighted to see this legislation because I think that was such a big step to take just by intent. So, Brian, when you kind of look ahead now and we're on this track and I can see continuing pressure on the budgets, Is this a good trend we're on now? Is this going to work out in the long run as more and more of the hatcheries are taken over? Am I correct? The state will, in a number of cases, have the ownership of the hatchery, but it will be under contractual operation. Are we on a good trend?
Mr. Chairman, yes, I think we are. We have all the control mechanisms in place in terms of requiring an annual plan and permit and fish transport permit and a number of things that we look at. So I do believe it's in the best interest of the state. In other words, we can control the program in that regard. And I think it's particularly good in terms of building a relationship with the regional associations where they can produce fish, some of the pinks and chum species and such, and do that well, and that we could produce the rearing species and move into more sockeye research, where we're already a world leader in the area of sockeye culture, and that particular species makes a significant impact on the economy.
And Mr. Chairman, the other thing would be are we going to move into any area where there's going to be, are there going to be allocation problems as the hatchery returns become more and more successful? Are there conflicts out there among various groups that would use that resource vis-a-vis the private nonprofit? I mean, do we have any problems coming about who gets the fish?
Mr. Chairman, that's certainly a matter that needs to be taken up in the Board of Fisheries, but mm-hmm. we have a comprehensive regional plan that mm-hmm. deals with kind of where these hatcheries are, what species, what's the mix, and that sort of thing. And we're also working to prepare a report for the Board of Fisheries on this kind of issue of just how these particular hatcheries and the species that are in them contribute to the various mm-hmm. gear groups. But I don't see that this would cause a particular allocation problem.
Yeah. Any more than, say, the state. I mean, whether the state's in ownership or the private nonprofit.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting point. Okay.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bruce Tsujimoto.
Mr. Chairman. Yes, my name is Bruce Tsujimoto. I'm president of the Prince William Sound Aquaculture Corporation. Our offices are in Cordova. And I just wanted to speak in support of this bill, 410. We basically view this as a continuance of our cooperative agreement, which we've run with the state this past year. What happened this past year, I don't know if you're all aware of this, the Cannery Creek facility in Prince William Sound was scheduled to be mothballed. They were supplying funds specifically just to maintain the facility, provide a hatchery manager and a maintenance engineer. And our board of directors basically found this unacceptable because there was they felt there'd be a great amount of economic loss to the region there. And so they asked us to enter into some sort of agreement with the Fred Division, and it wasn't a contract. It was more like it was just a cooperative joint effort to make sure the facility keeps on running. And what we did was we agreed to, the Fred Division agreed to, again, provide a manager and maintenance engineer and provide supplies and support services for the hatchery. And what we agreed to do was to do an egg take, provide help for incubation and release the fish. And we were going to do this all by harvesting fish at the facility to pay for the operations. And everything worked out fine, except the fish didn't return. Or they didn't come back in the numbers that we expected them to. So we were unable to harvest as many fish as we wanted to. And actually, we generated about $50,000 from the fish sales there, but the rest of the money we had to generate from our own resources. We went to our other facilities and harvested fish and paid for the operations at Cannery Creek. And right now, we've spent over $250,000 on the facility. So it's a fairly significant amount of money. But we viewed this as really more like a temporary band-aid type solution to a problem, which we felt was important enough for us to get involved with. The $250,000 is a fairly substantial amount, but we see an economic loss to the fisheries there of over $6 million mm-hmm. a year. So it's not really that large of a sum when you look at it in that point of view. We feel that we're capable to run the facility. Actually, we are the largest private nonprofit corporation in the States. We employ 16 full-time professional and administrative individuals and over 100 seasonal and part-time individuals. We have the largest hatchery in the world. We have, which is about 300 million, capable of producing 300 million fish. And this year alone, we took about well over $500 million eggs, which is 550 million eggs, which is a fairly large portion of the entire egg take here in the state. I think it's about 40%, as a matter of fact. So I think we feel like we're capable of running the facility. In actuality, the Cannery Creek facility would be the smallest of our three facilities. And the species there is just the pink stone, which we have extensive experience in at our other facilities. Also, we feel we have the incentive to do it to understand the economic impact on the region. And we're a logical choice because we have a broad base of support. We're composed of commercial fishermen, sport fishermen, on our board of directors, sport fishermen, subsistence fishermen, processors, and local administrators. And also we feel like we have the organizational infrastructure to run the facility. I mean, we can step in there and run the facility. And on top of that, we have a year's worth of experience. I don't know what else we can say about ourselves. But in general, and also I think we have a very good working relationship with the states because we've done several contracts with them before, and we've cooperated to keep this facility going this year. Our problem is right now is that if we wait too long on this, we'll lose the production year. And we need time to gear up and get in there and be assured that we can run the facility. Otherwise, we're gonna lose out in general. So it's sort of important to do this in a timely manner. I don't know if you have any questions.
Are there any questions? Thank you. This is the final committee, the only committee of referral. From here, it will go to Rules. So
great.
Senator Duncan.
Did you have anyone else testify?
No, I don't believe so. No. Oh, I'm sorry, we do. Go ahead. I don't have any other names on the
sheet.
Did you have a question?
No, I was going to ask Brian a question, actually.
Sure, go ahead, Brian. Come on up, if you would, please.
Brian, I was just sitting here thinking, I'm just wondering, on these hatcheries, the hatcheries are being transferred are presently state-operated.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, yes, they are.
How's that work? Are those people on those hatcheries in any unions, collective bargaining agreements? They are in unions?
Yes, they are.
How's that work then when the transfer takes place? What happens as far as those people who are under those type of agreements, et cetera?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, the options there would be to close the hatchery, in which case there would be no employment, or to find employment with the new operator, the regional association, and for us to attempt, as we have positions available through retirement or through people transferring within the FRED division, to try and find positions for these folks who worked over the years for the FRED division.
You know how many people are involved here and what unions are involved?
We have a breakdown of that specifically. I don't have it right in front of me, but there are approximately 10 to 15 employees, some in a supervisory capacity and some not.
Okay. I was just wondering if there's nothing, I guess, as long as the option is either transferring or closing, there's nothing in collective bargaining agreements and no criteria you have to meet before you can contract out. It seems to me that in some collective bargaining agreements there's the criteria before you can contract out that you have to show there's going to be a cost savings or whatever it might be. Is there any of that language in any of the collective bargaining agreements that would affect these transfers?
Not to my knowledge. We have worked through that through our contracting people, and the options are either close the hatchery or contract the operation. And we are working with the unions to try and find other positions within the Fred Division as they're available, and or in the rest of the divisions within Fish and Game. And then there are, as I said, it's also the possibility that there are professional positions with the regional associations, which offer an outstanding career opportunity. So we're working with the folks so that they can understand what their options are.
Thank you. Just identify yourself for the record and be
okay. Mr. Chairman, my name is Peter Squiro. I'm general manager of the Northern Southeast Regional Aquaculture. We're based out of Sitka. I would like to testify on behalf of this bill. Also, our involvement with the state in this subject matter is related to the Hidden Falls hatchery on the east coast of Baranof Island. We, in fact, have been working on a cooperative basis with the Department of Fish and Game for a couple of years now already with some of the fish at Hidden Falls. Approximately a year and a half ago, we entered into a cooperative agreement with the Department of Fish and Game to take the fry that were being released at Hidden Falls unfed and moved them to a remote release site at DeKalb's Bay, which is a little bit south of Hidden Falls Hatchery. And we basically made the rest of the Hidden Falls program. We, in fact, this year are further involved with the Fred Division. It's not really a cooperative venture in this year. There were some problems with the purchasing system the state had, so we ended up in order to get nets for the Hidden Falls release this year, ended up having to buy those nets. Our other involvement with the state has been, which I consider very significant, is that we are very anxious for the state and are very willing to work with the state in their endeavors to bring the Snettisham hatchery to its full capacity. We, this year, are involved with the department at Snettisham also, where we're providing some fish food, and we supplemented the net pen complexes there at Snettisham this year so that we could begin to release more and more fed fry rather than wasting fry as they're going out unfed. I'd like to pass around a small informational sheet that we had developed. Oh, you've got it. Okay. All right. Mary beat me to it. I didn't know if Mary had enough of it, but that basically tells you who we are and some of the things that we do. For a while, we were very associated with the Salmon Creek Hatchery and working with Senator Duncan on some problems there. I'm happy to report that we are just getting ready to pay off the final amount on Salmon Creek. We will pay back every nickel that we borrowed from the state in building that facility, and we're anxious to continue working with the state at Hidden Falls also. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Are there any questions? Senator Zorro?
Do I have one?
Sure.
Well, we have one.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Is there anybody else from the public that cares to express themselves on this particular bill? If not, the public hearing is now closed. What is the wish of the committee?
Well, Mr. Chairman, my only problem is that I'm not a co-sponsor of the bill. How'd that happen?
I'm not either.
Well, they slipped one by.
They slipped one by.
Yeah.
Do you want to move it or shall I?
Go ahead.
All right. I move the bill with unanimous do pass.
No, let's just move it up individual
recommendation.
All right.
All right. Okay. I would move the committee substitute with individual recommendations as
yet. Yeah, there being no objections,
individual
committee. Before we adjourn, this week on Wednesday, Water Resources Board on Wednesday on water issues, and there's no meeting on Friday. With that, meeting is adjourned.
I like the other one better. Who did